Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the anybody who knows the song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody.
Hey, Tahunshi, I'll let you take over right now, all right? Go ahead and...
All righty.
Glad you're here.
Yeah. You want me to say a prayer for the people?
Yeah.
Oh, huh? I'm going to say a prayer for everybody, all the listeners and whoever else is, you know, whoever else is involved. When I make prayers, it's for everybody. It's not just for one individual, you know, myself. That's how we, that's our way of life. But anyway, I'm a prayer and we'll get started.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit on a run suddenly all of a sudden, but
yeah,
here we are. We're here, and want to thank everybody for showing up again, and especially thank Tashi Bimber for being here. It's important, you know, and. I wanted to, you know, we had a lot of guests. Last week I talked about Phil Batista, you know, and Clyde had passed away too. The other day I lost a relative. He buried my mother, a spiritual leader named Kenny Oliver Kroigo. And, you know, he just went to sleep and never woke up. Kind of shocks people, especially when they're younger than me, you know? I mean,
yeah.
he wasn't that young, but, you know, this is the age and time when we're losing a lot of elderlies, you know, people that are important. So I thank many of you for tuning in and hearing the voices that are here. Oh, gosh, he's not no spring chicken either. You know? So,
yeah.
So, you know, and
we want to be young, but we can't.
Yeah. And I tell you right now, these are the voices you're going to miss when, you know, sometime in the future. And I hope not soon. I want to actually be around. We're shooting for for 30 more, right? 30 more, at least 30 more.
You bet. 40 more if we could.
Yeah, 40 more. I want to break that record. But, our relatives are leaving us. And like I said, my relative that just left, he's a Lakota speaker, Lakota spiritual leader, and actually a medicine man. He, you know, these kind of guys don't want to, a lot of people don't realize to be a medicine man is really the top of the line job, and it's hard and a lot of responsibility, so a lot of people don't really want to take that final step into it. And in this case, that's kind of similar, but I considered him a medicine man. He did have ceremonies, and he was there for the people, and Inipi, and like I said, he buried my mother. He was, my mother left through the spiritual way that we did it, so I feel bad because these people are important, and we're losing them all the time, you know. I mean, I'm not saying when a young person dies, we don't feel it, you know.
Yeah.
Death hurts us all. I noticed even the death of Meatloaf affected some of the people on Facebook, you know. They're all talking about it. What's that?
Crunchy Meatloaf left us. And,
yeah.
You know, his music. And that's with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, they affect us, that death affects everybody some kind of way. And so we do our best to cope with it, but most of us, you know, when you get a certain age, we know this as the way it is. And time's coming, and a lot of us feel like we're waiting in line right now. I try and put people in front of me, they put in front of me all they want. But you know, there's a lot of that going on, and it really gets me that some people don't use their time wisely. You know, they want to run around and bully people. You know, they want to run around and act like God. They don't see, you know. I mean,
yeah,
there's one GGC guy like that right now, or a couple of them practically, you know. And you know what gets me? Let's talk about the American Indian Movement a little bit, because, you know, this is American Indian Movement. So, the American Indian Movement was founded before it was called the American Indian Movement. What led to the American Indian Movement was traditional men that Sundance, carry Chanupa, carry drum, and they were members of tribes. You know, they were active in the tribes, you know. Russell Means,
yeah.
he is from the Oglala Sioux tribe, you know. Dennis Banks, he was Ojibwe, you know.
Yeah.
The Ted Means and all them, Oglalas, Tyrone Head, Sea Chanku, Leonard Crow Dog, Sea Chanku, you know. They were all members of tribe. But nowadays, and I'm not knocking nobody, nowadays people find out they use AIM to become Indian.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly they're Indian. They join AIM, so now they're Indian, putting 50 feathers on and running around and doing this. Why? I'm proud of anybody that acknowledges that they're native or something. But most of these guys don't. There was even an argument because one of these guys, when he quit his chapter, you know, he got drunk and went off heartbroken something, and moved the next guy in line. They didn't want him there, but you know, he took over for a little bit because he was from a tribe. And they said, here's what this guy and these Amsters were saying. He cares more for his tribe than AIM. That's the mentality of these people. He cares more for his tribe than AIM. Just because they're not in a tribe. Just because they don't even know what tribe they come from. Yeah, they're brown skin. Obviously, they're indigenous. But they're not in a tribe. So they found out they're Indian because, so use ink to become Indian. Well, that ain't how American Indian Movement is. The American Indian Movement is natives, indigenous people that form together in unity, different tribes. They form together to fight injustice. And these people, one of their goals was to preserve our cultures, to preserve our spirituality, preserve our way of life, you know, and they did really good at it. So that was the purpose of AIM. The American Indian Movement isn't there so you can become Indian. You better be Indian before you get there. You know, don't show up yesterday and decide today you're Indian. Now you're Amster, so you put on 50 patches and that French red cap they wear, looking like a Frenchman. We're not the, you know, this is the American Indian Movement. It's not the French Indian Movement. You know, I don't care if you're part French either.
You know, what happened to braid? What happened to that, you know, Indian Dakota style hair? You know, you want to cover, you want to put on, you want to wash, put on a wash your piece of shit, you know, that look like a cow patty sitting on your head and act all badass, you know? That's
yeah.
Not what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't even belong to a tribe. You lie to everybody and say you're in a tribe. You tell everybody you're part this, part that, part that. You name off 50 tribes. That way you're covered in case somebody pulls your covers, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The American Indian Movement, you know, is here. It's here to preserve. And of course, we like it when people find out they are indigenous and they support it. AIM doesn't give you the name. The people is what give AIM the name. The people are the ones that make the American Indian Movement. The American Indian Movement doesn't make you. If you were nobody before the American Indian Movement showed up, now you think you're somebody because you slapped on all these AIM patches and then want to play God and act tough and run around. That ain't how the American Indian Movement is. You got it wrong. And GDC should know that, but they don't. You know, GDC's becoming the kind of people we're talking about, you know. Yeah, maybe they're a member of a tribe, but they never even knew their tribe. Maybe they don't even speak their own tribal language. Maybe they don't know nothing about their own tribe. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, I remember even to join AIM, if you're going to join it, the government side of it, GGC, if you were going to join it, you had to... It said to have a tribal affiliation. Well, I can name a bunch of them ain't got no tribal affiliation. You know, but it doesn't bother me, and I'm not getting down on them. I'm happy they're here, and I'm happy that they're part of the American Indian Movement. But don't go attacking people who are real, like, try to attack me or try to attack member or try to attack other people because we're Lakota or because we say Lakota prayer here, you know. Don't do that. Don't go run around crying because we talk Lakota and all you know how to talk is Mexican, Spanish. I said Mexican because you know, it's a different language, kind of with more slangs. And I have nothing against that. I was raised with my Chicano bros and all that. But a lot of the people I know, they found out they were indigenous. and they found out they did belong to a tribe. They just never knew it. But a lot of the ones out there right now, you know, especially ones that are like us, you know, probably Kushan, sick or something, you know, maybe going to die real soon, you know. You're going to leave this world being an asshole. You ain't going to leave the world being good for the people. Because just because you're a name don't mean you're good for the people. It means you're only good to your little cult clique, you know. American Indian tribal members, people that join name from tribes, they were doing it to better the society, the native societies, and help them with injustice. They weren't there just for the American Indian movement, just for AIM, just to be called AIMster. First of all, like me and Bimber, we're Lakota first. You know, AIM isn't our tribe. The American Indian Movement is an organization we support and that supports the people to preserve the way of life. Because before people were losing it, you know, they were becoming ashamed to be Native, you know. So there was tribal members that were just rather run around and say they're some other culture, you know. So that's why I'm talking like this right now. That's why I'm saying that. First, we're from our tribe. We're from our own oyate, from our people.
That's our identity. Who we are, original being. That's who we are, Lakota. That's the original people, my original. That's why I come from.
And you don't go over there, or you AIMsters don't go over there and say, oh, he cares more for his Lakota than he does for AIM. You're damn right.
I
care for my family first, you know.
Yeah.
But just because you ain't got a tribal connection or some other, you know, you want to attack people, that ain't how it is. Because I know who you are. I know who you people are. And you don't deserve nothing. Because you're not helping our people. You're only helping yourself. You're only making yourself look good because you slap on those AIM patches and do all this stuff. But you're not helping our people. You're not helping our people when you criticize other Indians, gang up on them, run around in your little Facebook packs talking crap about people, and at the same time being a rat, running with cops or being with cops or supporting cops or wanting to vote. Wanting to vote for the American and call yourselves AIMsters. So anyway, I just wanted to get that straight right now because I see there's a problem about all this. And people are getting...
You know, before American Indian Movement, I had a cousin named Pedro Bissonnette. And I don't know how much people remember it. But back in the day, before American Indian Movement, he was a Golden Gloves boxer. He was a badass, you know, he could fight pretty damn good. And, you know, the Yeskas, they used to pick on us. The half-breeds used to pick on us fubas all the time. Make fun of us, you know, run us down, dog eaters, worshippers, you name it. That was us. Pedro Bissonnette and Vern Long, there's a bunch of these old people that he got with. Pedro got with those people and talked about Indian civil rights. That's what got him killed, Pedro Bissonnette. And Pedro Bissonnette was before the coming of AIM. He stood with us. He was a Lakota dude. But he never backed down. It didn't matter how big the dude was. He would not back down from a fight. If it pertained to Lakota, and they were going to put Lakota down, he jumped in there. He didn't care if he got his ass kicked. And I asked him, when American Indian Movement first come about and stuff, so I asked him about, what is this? How do we join? And he said, no. He said, Kahershi. He said, you got this all wrong. He said, Kahershi. He said, we're the landlords. We're the landlords. He said, don't ever forget that. These people that are bossing you around, making fun of you, these half-breeds, he said, they want to be you. He said, but they can't. So they use shame on you. So you could feel down. You could feel less than him. He said, don't ever do that. Don't ever let these people that floated in on a ship say they're better than you. Remember, he said, you never floated in on a ship. He said, all this land belongs to you. He said, those guys are just borrowing it. He said, look at where they stand. He said, they don't know where they belong. Back then, there was a lot of goons. And he told us never to step back from a Lakota, but to fight on. He said, stand up. Fight for yourself. He said, you're Lakota. And fight for Lakota. He said, aim. He said, it's an organization. He said, that's not a tribe. He said, me, he said, I'm speaking for all these fools that get pissed on every day. Like you, he said. He said, you own this. He said, these guys are just borrowing it. He said, you're the landlord. And he said, these other guys don't own shit, he said. So he said, stand up and let it be known that you are who you are first. He said, you're Lakota, first of all. Be proud of that and don't back down. Stand your ground, he said. Even if they kick your ass, stand your ground. He said, even if you have to take 4 or 5 beatings, he said, stand your ground. So Pedro Bisnet was kind of like the beginning of this American Indian movement. Him and Vern Long and Dave Long, there's a bunch of old people that were getting messed over by the BIA, police money, all this other stuff. They were really mistreating Indians, these half-breeds, along with these Washitos. And as long as these half-breeds did it, these Washitos, you're a good guy, all this other stuff, praise these guys that were belittling us, making fun of us, and keeping us down. See, and he said that. Those guys were all wrong. He said, turn it around. He said, you're the one. He said, they should be looking up to you. Don't back down. Remember, you were born Lakota first. He said, American Indian Movement is after that. He said. So he said, this is what it is. He said, some of these people have it all backwards, he said. He said, remember, AIM is not a tribe. He said, it's an organization. And he said, we're the beginning of this. And back then, he was kind of like a civil rights dude. And he's the one that kind of made a lot of these Lakotas proud. Then when American Indian Movement came, it wasn't American Indian Movement, it's called some organization. I can't remember it now, but it changed. And it came back from Minneapolis. It started out in Porcupine, went to Minneapolis, and came back to American Indian Movement. And that's when everybody was proud to be Indian, see. But a guy named Pedro Bisnet was the one that explained to all these Lakota people that they were belittling, making shame, making fun of. He told them to stand up. He said, you turn it around. You tell them the same damn thing they're telling you. He said, that's your right. They don't have that right, he said, because you're from here. They're not. He said, you're Lakota first before anything else. So he said, that's who you are. So he said, always be proud of who you are. And that's what got Pedro Bismet killed, was because he took up for the Indians long before the Indians, American Indian movement came about. So Pedro Bismet was kind of the very beginning of this fight, the so-called American Indian movement. And always remember him when we talk like this. Always remember him. And I don't know how much people remember who he was and what he did for the American Indian movement. They took what he said. AIM took what he said. And that was kind of like the foundation they built. See? So Pedro Bismet told people, it doesn't matter what tribe you're from. As long as you didn't float in on a ship, you're a landlord. And they ought to be kissing your ass, he said, instead the other way around. And he said, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for making fun of you. Stand up and be proud. He said, fight back. The American Indian movement, a lot of these things that you talked about, like some of these guys that just passed away, Clyde, you know, all these guys that are passing on now, there's a bunch of them that left. And yet, now all of a sudden, you know, like take for instance that tiger. They hushed him up and buried him secretly. And when I mentioned that boy should have been given those feathers that were given to these white guys, I kind of called out for that, even amongst my own people. And I told them that guy's my hero. He killed cops because cops were harassing Native kids, Lakota kids. And I said, he finally got tired of it. And I said, I understand where the boy is coming from. I said, he did a damn good thing. And some of those people hitting it for saying that.
Those
and
cops
like that today.
Knew him. Those cops knew Daniel Tiger. The one cop knew his name and everything, but he said, where's your ID at? And Daniel don't need an ID. He said, I don't have one. You know my name. He said, told him his name. They said, you need to have an ID. They were provoking a fight with him. And it turned out then they pulled guns on him. And they didn't realize he had one too. You see?
Yeah.
So they died for being an asshole. They died for stupidity, you know? And that's how it is all the time. You know what they tell you? What the Washichu tells you, don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to go to prison for this. Well, I tell them, Washichu, the same thing's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
You know? The same thing's going to happen to them.
That's what I'm getting at. Look at this American Indian movement. These people, and you know, they should have stopped that when those BIA cops were taking those feathers and giving them to the Washichus. Washichus never, ever, he got nothing to do with eagle feathers, nothing. He's a white man. He's a Washichu, slave stealer. He got no business. He doesn't know what a Wombali is. But yet, these Indian cops went over and honored those guys that he killed. They drew down on him first. So he defended himself, and he wasted more of them than the other way around. They thought they could push that poor boy around, and they couldn't. He had enough. You know, there comes a time when, you know, you like I was telling you about Pedro, when he told him, stand up. And that's what he did. And yet, nobody ever defended. I still say, where did they bury him? How did this all happen, you know? And I've never gotten a correct answer of where he's buried, of why they did what they did. And you know, it goes back to like I was talking about Pedro. You are who you are. You're born who you are. That's who you are first. You're never going to change that. these organizations like Maine come after us. The La Cosa, we have everything intact. You know, there's a simple thing that the Cheyenne gave us, the Chinupa. That Cachanupa was brought to us by the sacred captain. It was not brought to us by no Cheyenne or nobody. And there was two people, two men that were out there. One of them came back, the other one didn't. So it was brought spiritually. That's how we ended up with the Cachanupa. And nowadays, that's the other thing. Everybody says Chanupa. What happened to the Cachan part of it? Cachanupa. That's the original way of describing that. That's the original name. Cachanupa. The pipe. The sacred pipe is called a Cachanupa. And now we're Chanupa. The slang. All these slangs taking over, dominant. It's happening. Look at DGC, all these people that claim AIM, but yet they're siding with Cox. Trying to push the Indian out again. Because the Indian ain't sitting up, like Pedro said, stand up for who you are. Some of these guys jump tribes because they don't know who they are. Some of them have 15, 20 different tribes all of a sudden. We have
a lot of people. They claim a tribe that doesn't, that you know, like Cherokee, you know, that they don't even know they don't know each other. Or they claim Yaqui or something like that, you know. I have nothing against these things. You know, I can spot a Indian anyway, you know, I can spot a native anyway. The point is, you know, these people run around lying and attacking people. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
How they attack people and use aim for their big badge to do that. You know?
That's
what I'm talking about right there. I'm talking about these same guys, you know, don't have a connection to a tribe. But they run around and say, well, I'm part this tribe, I'm part that tribe, and blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. And they say, and then next thing they're saying, people are trying to start AIM chapters, and these guys say, nah, rah, 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 or like one, like they did my niece. She was going to have a AIM chapter, and the guy said, well, can you do this for us? And she said, no, I don't have time right now. And he said, well, since it's like that, you don't have a chapter, and you're not no support group. Just that quick, switched up. You know, play God with something he had. But that's why, to me, his voice is nothing. The American Indian Movement doesn't need all that GGC crap. You know, the American Indian Movement is the people, the indigenous, the native people that are out there struggling, fighting injustice. And the police is their enemy. And the government is their enemy. The government's trying to take lands, take our way of life away from us. How could we stand in there and have aim for the vote, you know? Have an aim, get involved in voting, encouraging people to vote. And now, just like one of them did on the radio show, he said, if I see someone that don't wear a mask, I'll drop a dime on them. They're being mask police, you know, with COVID. Yeah, we understand this COVID and all that. We understand all this stuff. We're not stupid people. But you know what? It ain't our job to run around and make enemies and playing cops with, you know, hey, you ain't got your mask on. Pull it on over your nose. You know, that guy guy ain't got a mask on. Oh, they're not vaccinated. You know, when you get like that, get the hell off. You know?
Yep.
I don't have nothing against you get vaccinated. I have nothing against you wearing a mask, and I'll wear one too when I, you know, because certainly I feel there could be a threat, because it's like this tiny island in the Pacific. They never had no COVID or nothing there until recently when the plane landed and some white guys got out and gave it to them. You know?
Damn.
So now the island's affected, and there's more of that out there. You know? So we have to always... Yeah, we always have to look out for this, because so my point is this: we wouldn't even have this COVID if we didn't allow the Washichu to be around us. You know what I mean? We wouldn't even have this.
Yes.
But you know, here's those guys. I remember when the election was happening. Natives for Bernie Sanders and aim for the vote. Get out and vote. You know? How?
Yep.
We're here struggling with the American government, but we're over there at the same time telling our people, go over there and get involved. Be an American. You know?
Yeah.
It's like two-faced hypocrisy, you know? And
yeah.
We're Native people. We're Indigenous people.
We're not Kota people.
We need to struggle and find ourselves, be ourselves, and support our people. We need to do that. We don't need to join another culture to be somebody. You know, those Americans came over and stole this land. So we're supposed to join them now, you know, since they're bigger ass kickers or whatever? Hell no, you know.
I'm still standing my ground.
Hell yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, anyway, I got a bunch of minds open. Phillips lines open.
Turn some of them on.
Yeah. And you know, you guys want to jump in, you can, you know. And first of all, the American, that's a cult, another cult. You know, you're going to join one cult, be in another cult, you know. But the Americans are crazy people. You know, I was looking on the thing today. It says, Aiken County man pleading guilty to sexual assaulting a horse. Sexual assaulting a horse. And he only got 3 years in prison, 4 years probation.
Man.
You know, him and the woman, they were drinking with some other guys in there, laughing, joking about having sex with the horse, and then they said, and suddenly it happened. You know?
Yeah.
Instead, they've been doing this for 3 or 4 years, sexually assaulting horses. Man, you know what? First of all, I ain't gonna get in the back of the horse. I just got kicked by my horse a while back. You know? I ain't gonna be going around behind a horse. And why are they into that kind of stuff? You know, the American, that's a representative of Americans. If you read, the article and read more and more and look on, you know, I'm always checking out Yahoo News. You look on Yahoo News, that's all you see is murder, crime, wicked stuff, you know. Some some guy on an airplane got up and pulled his pants on and started moving the passengers and flashing his ass to the flight attendant. You know, that's the kind of people they are, those Americans. And then they say they got rights. They're always griping about their rights, especially their right. They're saying they're taking away our weapons. They're trying. They ain't taking my weapons. You know, they're really into some weird stuff. You know,
murder.
They're into murder, road rage, sexual assault, kidnapping children, sexually assault children, you know?
Yep.
You know, you could just look on the news and check out everything they do, you know?
Yeah.
It's just sickness out there. And then, you know, you got gangsters saying we're supposed to join them. Them vote for that cult to keep overseeing our lives, to
steal and promote,
to oversee, you know,
to keep stealing our land from us. You know, they support that. You know, it seems like, you know, that's, to me, that's not right, Corky. Not right at all.
It's really messed up. Then they get away with stuff, you know. And then when they get caught, they're really crying, you know, like those ones that killed that jogger in Georgia. That one said, you know, that one's crying about his house. Oh, I'm losing my house, you know. Lost his house.
Yeah.
The other one, oh, my kids, my wife and kids. But when he grabbed his shotgun to go chase that black dude down the road, he wasn't thinking of his wife and kids. Well, he only thinking about them, you know, after he's busted, you know, got locked up, missed Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, which they're so into. You see, then they care about their family. Those cops out there on the street, that's what they, oh, I got a wife and kid, you know. Well, they were sure killing people. They're sure out there abusing people. If you've got a wife and family, why do you want to be a cop? Why do you want to be somebody like that? Oh, and then they say, oh, because he loves America. That's why they're doing it, you know. Guy, oh, I lost my house over this deal. Well, you shouldn't have been in that deal. You know?
Yep.
They're lacking brain development. And here's Indians wanting us to support that cult of people. You know, they're not a race of people. They're a cult of people. Because they're not one thing. They're not German. They're not Swedish. They're not Irish. They're everything. Black, white, everything. They don't even know what they are anymore. You know? And that's how our people are getting. They don't know who they are. So they slap on an AIM patch. Now I'm Indian. I got an AIM patch on. You know? And we need to, our people need to preserve their own color, their own way of life. You know, that's my point in this, you know. We can talk about anything else if anybody wants to, you know. But the point is, you know, look out for who you are. You know, find out what you are. Work on it. And if you don't know what tribe you are, you know, work on it. try to find out something, but don't go digging in those white written research books. And I appreciate all the tribal people that come to our Sundance that dance with Lakota and learn our way. So, I appreciate that because it does give them some identity, and they need to have that indigenous identity.
Yep.
But don't join AIM to get that indigenous identity. Don't start slapping on AIM patches and trying to do things to get indigenous identity. Do the right thing. Support our people. Support indigenous people. Support, our struggles. Don't support it with the AIM patch to attack Indians. You can't be AIM because I'm mad at you. And you can't be AIM because you badmouthed so and so and so and so before. You can't be AIM because I don't like you. Well, who the hell gets to be in charge of an organization that can play God with it? What kind of organization allows that? So to me, that ain't an indigenous organization. That's a cult. When you start doing things to benefit only you, only your little clique, and not the people. And anyway, we could move on from that subject, and I don't know, Philip, what do you think? You're over there too.
Hey, good morning.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we are Kazemono. So I'm just listening in, and it's good to hear your voices. You guys do good things in your communities and for the people. First with a prayer of recognition of life, right? And well, I would hope we all do. It's like, thank you. It's good to be alive. And some days, I don't know. We're all old. I don't know. You guys are older than I am. I'm somehow old too. I don't know what happened, but so the recognition of life, and some days I'm alive more than others. But what I've been doing with my time is I've been going through things that I as an individual see that we need to do, well, that I need to do, and I really don't know where you guys fit in this, and I know that as role models for the people and for the younger generations being, like uncles and grandfathers, that, well, you take into consideration what I have to say and hopefully, speak on it or spread the word, but this is the forum for the people. So what I've been thinking about was the children and the next seven generations. We're always talking about seven generations. Well, somewhere it has to start another cycle. So what I'm thinking is, well, within this lifespan that we have now, we have different generations, multi-generational homes. So if we consider the next seven generations, starting with that youngest one, and say, well, if we go seven more, then it's set the next seven generations. Somehow it works out. But what are our needs now? Our needs as a people is to prepare for the next seven generations. If we can put that in the spot as, hey, I can maintain my cultural beliefs, I can maintain my practices, I can maintain my languages for the next seven generations, but with that, I should also be able to prepare a future for the next seven generations. Maybe I'm thinking wrong, right? So how can I best do that? Well, this summer I had the chance to walk around in the local community, and it was summertime, and what I found out from talking with the kids is, like, they'll eat maybe one time a day, right? One time a day during the summertime. So I got to thinking, well, and I spent my own money, you know, and I ate with these kids and I put on feeds. But is that, well, we need to be able to provide healthy, delicious, and nutritious meals for these people that will run this world when we're old and gone. I mean, these are the grandparents of their grandchildren, and they're going to sit where we're sitting, or maybe in a better place with the ideology that we picked up from, you know, those people who spoke up, like Uncle Pedro, you know, and there were many others, you know, and with that mindset is how do we convince these young people to even follow these belief systems when there are so many distractions? Well, let's worry about that later, but let's start with feeding them, you know, making sure that they're consuming healthy, delicious, and nutritious foodstuffs. We know that if we purchase these foods locally, they're cheaper. Hey, why don't we buy this food at the way that they sell it? How do they sell it? They sell it by the bushel. So why don't we buy it by the bushel and bring it back by the bushel and feed these kids? There has to be a way. And purchase beef at the prices, market prices. So they're, what is it, like $145, $150 a head for a steer? How many steers do we need? Let's slaughter those suckers. Let's package them up and let's feed these kids. I mean, there has to be a way. I mean, this is where my mind is at. Maybe I'm thinking wrong, but, you know, as, you know, we look at the problems that we have in our community, well, hold on. Let's put aside the politics. Let's put aside, you know, the exploitation, however it may be, and just look and see, hey, look, these kids need to eat. Let's start there. Let's start by feeding these kids, making sure they're eating three times a day.
Let me jump in there real quick.
Please. That sums it up.
Hold on. You're right. You're absolutely right. The problem with that is, you know, why don't we feed these kids? You know, who's we? So, of course, you're meaning of the parents, the older people, are, you know, the community people. We, in order to go there, the community has to be mature and developmentally enough to do that. And the problem with all this is like what we're talking about. You know, they put the cart in front of the horse or something. The problem is our communities, the we is over there supporting the American. The we is over there thinking they're American. The we, and when they get off on that trip, they forgot all about the important thing, what you're talking about. You're talking about something real important, our children. And that's why a lot of us, like Bimber included, he raises his children in a good way. Even though he's not a rich man, he raises his children to walk a good path. And it's hard to do that. The we is the problem. The we is the one who's running around wearing that big old hang patch and only having an ego for himself and using Facebook to go find a mate and then give his mate a hang patch. You know? The we is what's important here. The we.
Exactly.
We need to understand who they are, their identity. You know, who is we? And that's what we're talking about.
The people.
Us, hold on now. Us, we can't all talk the anti-us, you, member, you know, we're La Costa. So we try to lead our people into a more traditional, spiritual way. We try to do that. And how do we do that when we have more of the other side against what we're doing? They're over there saying, you better vote. We need to work with the police. We need to do this. We need to do that. You know, they're doing all this stuff, and they're worrying about their own self, their own nutritious food for themselves, and they ignore what you're talking about, the children, the important things. And that's why I pointed out, you know, these people that join AIM to become an Indian. They join AIM and they say, now I'm Indian. They run them, get the best feathers and show off with them, wear them all over. They get these AIM patches and all that, you know. But they still ain't got nothing happening. Because AIM isn't a tribe. AIM is the people. You know, and that's what I'm pointing out here. You know, the American Indian Movement can't help nobody if they just start helping their own little cult, the crew. The American Indian Movement is supposed to be the we, Charles. Part of the we, anyway. The we, and we did that a lot, like Charles, like we did get propane for people, we did hustle trailer houses for people, we did pass out clothes and computers and other things to our society. We did do that.
Hey, Richard. Hey, those people really didn't appreciate what we did, the sacrifice that
we made.
Yeah, well,
that's another issue.
Yeah, you did. Driving, pay, the food. But
yeah.
Anyway, excuse
but
my
I
question,
just,
but yeah.
I just ignore all of that now because time passed, and I'm not going to get stuck on that part, how much people, but so we, at that time, was us. We were trying to do something. And we need to continue these things. But in order for it to work, we have to work together. So here, Vimper's over there in California. Phillip's there in Cleveland. You're in New York, and I'm over here on the res. And Layla, of course, she's on the line too. She's in Florida, you know. So at this time right now on this program here, we is up. We.
Yeah. All right, so I did a little research on this project, it Can Fly. And this is why I'm throwing it out there. If there are people who are serious about, you know, the people, and, you know, I challenge our elected leaders and our traditional leadership, if you've got money like that, and it's, the cost is really, well, if you're about the people, you'll figure it out. But, for example, the corn, you can buy it by the ton. All right, so you buy, how many tons of corn do we need? Where can we get it dropped? How do we distribute that ton of corn? Okay, and, you know, beans. All right, so like under $50 per hundredweight, and it's bagged up. All right, so we buy a pallet. How many pounds or how many bags are on a pallet? Now distribution. All right, so what I'm saying is real, and you know, to think about a third meal for children, it is possible with local produce, and you know, there are people out there who have the ability to come up with, hey, how much does it cost for that purchase? $5,000. It's like, hey, we can come up with it somehow. It's not like we haven't done it before, and I'm sure we can establish within our communities, like within the schools themselves. Hey, maybe we have all of these grains, these foods and grains. We need storage. So volunteers to actually cook. Now, it's doable. And if people are with those types of resources, elected or traditional leadership, because from where I was at, I saw both of them driving by me in these nice pickups and, you know, these nice SUVs while the people walked, and it's like some kind of status symbol or something, but it should be about the people, right?
Yeah, but once again,
and those kids only were eating one time a day.
Yeah, those kids are going to continue doing that because the weed, once again, the person driving the nice cars, the person doing this stuff, they don't know how to take care of their own people because they only take care of themselves. And,
all right,
and that's
so,
my
so that's
point.
What I'm saying too. So with that in mind, instead of thinking about what other people are doing or haven't done, it's like having the ability. It's like, okay, so what does it cost for a steer? $150 for a steer. So how many steers am I able to purchase? Are they able to deliver them to the local slaughterhouse, the tribally owned slaughterhouse that will give us a discount for what it is that we're doing because it's going to the people? I mean, these are considerations that we can make a reality. And, well, hey, how much does it cost?
Explain this to me. How you're saying we. How do you say we?
Well, I'm not thinking about you in the equation. When I'm putting this together, when I'm saying we, me and whoever the heck wants to ride with me on this, because I'm going to make this a reality whether I have your help or not, I'm putting it out there that this is fully feasible, that we have those people who are elected officials that can do this right now, that we have these people who call themselves traditional leadership who have money for trucks like that. I don't know where they get their money from, what they're doing, and the side hustle is, but if they can redirect those funds to feeding their people, how much beans can fit in the back of that pickup that they can bring to their community and maybe drop off a couple of hundred pounds within all 9 districts, or pay 320 pounds for a ton of corn. I mean, think about it. 320 bucks for a ton of corn. It's all about the distribution, right? So it's about saving money.
It's all about getting people to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's where I'm at. It's like so knowing that we have problems, but seeing we have solutions as well. And it's like, hey, there are people on the ground who are willing to do this. Just like, hey, Richard, do you remember when I helped to get those 8 tractor trailer loads of help too, during that time that we had these floods in Nebraska and Iowa? Hey, they completely forgot about Pine Ridge and Rosebud, didn't they? But I didn't. And damned if we didn't get 8 tractor trailer loads of help there before FEMA did. And damned if those local tribally elected IRA government officials, damned if they didn't try to get credit for what I helped to organize. Shit. Hey, my people needed help. I got it and made it happen before FEMA was there, and I needed people on the ground. You remember that shit? So the thing is, we have the ability to make things happen. We can make things happen, you know, when we organize and work together as a team. And, you know, I'm not caught up in what somebody else did or didn't do. It's like when we concentrate on the future, when we think about the next 7 generations, our priority right now should be feeding them, protecting them, providing a safe place for them, you know, in some shape, form, or fashion. You know, we can start off simple where, you know, by having extra
Let's
food.
Let's get some feedback on what you're saying because we can't be here all night. Okay. Member, what do you think about what Charles is saying?
You know, it's like, you know, the way he's telling it, you know, and how he's going about it and stuff. You know, there's a lot of that that's been tried, you know, and it's up to the people. You know, it takes, there's a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. That should pertain to a lot of these places, but it doesn't. That's why we talk about this Washi Chu, you know, these Sinead students. A lot of these people have that mentality. They use Indian and it benefits them, but yet they forget about it the minute they have what they need. And that's kind of a common thing across the board. So the youth, you know, it's even hard to work with the youth. It's something as simple as food, because there's always going to be that person there that see. When the old people used to tell us, "Inila etchu yeyayo." It's better not to say anything about it. It's better. The best thing for you to do is to shut up and do it. That's what they used to say. And that's when me myself, I got my kids, I got my grandkids, and they all seem to be doing pretty good. And it all revolves around my family. I mean, Richard knows my family, you know, and to me, it starts at home. You got to take care of it at home first before you could do anything else, because it takes that village. So those are things, you know, yeah, it's important. But there's a lot of tried times out there that was it successful? No. You need people. Long ago, I should say, you know, not 50 years ago, people were together in a lot of issues. Look at American Indian movement. We just talked about that. You have one group over there siding with elections and votes and cops and plaques and, you know. Then you got another group over here that just don't give a damn. That's how it is. So in these things that you're talking about, it's been tried. A lot of it's been tried. You know, the survival schools, they're in Porcupine. They used to have survival schools all over the place, you know, to educate the youth. But eventually it got to where the kids were being misused. In other words, they were getting things for the kids, but the kids weren't getting it. It was the hustle that was getting it, see? So these younger, as they got older, they stepped aside and they said, you know, I'm tired of being used. See? And they kind of played that game. So a lot of the destruction, we're our greatest enemies. So, you know, it starts from within. It starts with your family. As long as your kids, your grandkids, and all your relations are doing good, and everybody is about what you're talking about, then it should work. But it's, look at all of our families today. We just talked about that. Me and Kosh here. We talked about Pedro and how he did what he did, and how he explained it to these Lakota people that they were the landlord. These other guys floated, are siding with people that floated in, so they don't count. That's why they're making you feel this way. Those things like that, you got to really look at the whole picture. But it starts with them. I mean, it starts with your family. It starts with you and how you handle it, see? Because your family is going to be a reflection of you. And that's the part that a lot of people are overlooking on these. They're putting the cart before the horse. And that's the thing with a lot of these things that you're talking about. If people, like we talked about, if people were true leaders, they would lead by example, the very few words. But yet they're out there hustling on Facebook and YouTube and, you know, shooting rockets off, saying, you know, vote for me, all this other stuff, you know. And to me, that's, you know, it's too much Washichu. And as far as like meat and all this other, in those ways, we've had, we didn't have refrigerators back home till, shit, I was what, 16, 17 years old? And, you know, the meat that we had for the winter time came from the summertime. And that summertime was the only time we ate fresh meat. And winter time, if there was a kill, then we ate that fresh meat. But there was a lot of food that was preserved to feed these kids, to feed these families. And that's how it was done back in the day. But people stood together because they knew the importance of community. And nowadays, we're far from that shit. Nowadays, they'd rather run the 7-Eleven for Slurpee than a pound of ground beef, you know? That those stories like that is all to tell you how far we drifted away from that. And it's going to take something drastic before a lot of these people come back to that. I don't know what you guys think about it, but that's the way I look at it.
Well, Tanashi.
Yeah.
You're right. And I'm not saying Charles' idea is a bad one. But
yeah.
But once again, the society that we live in are the ones that need to learn. And
yep.
We can't teach them. We can't have the society when the society is all Americanized up. You know who does better at what Charles is talking about? These Christians come around every summer. They have big feasts outside all the time. These Christians, because they have money, and they're doing it to act like they care for the Indians. You know, they're the ones doing that.
Yep.
And our people, we can't do nothing. It's just like you said, the 70 big trucks came in. Or I hauled some trailer houses. We did some stuff, and then it fizzles out. It fizzles out because this society, that they haven't learned nothing. What they're doing is just like what Member was talking about. If we start doing something, they come tear it down. You know, our own people tear it down. We start going out there and feeding the kids. Here comes somebody else. Is going to do the same thing and tell and wipe you out of whatever you're doing. And then as soon as they get rid of you, they quit doing what they're doing. I mean, that domestic violence program we was doing, Charles, way back then, once the college jumped into it and started spending money on it, it fizzled out. You know, all this stuff. Because we're having trouble with the adults here, the society we live in. And hate to sound racist or whatever, but Toshi said it best in the beginning, when these half-breeds come and start jumping in doing stuff or for their own self, so they can get a tank of propane, so they can get a free meal, so they could, you know, I noticed when we're raising money to get propane, I have relatives on the res that don't help nobody. They live really good, got 10 cars in their house, fly the American flag, and talk bad about traditional people. But when we're giving propane, they were sure in that line. And when they didn't get propane, they were the ones griping the loudest. You know, same way with trailer houses and everything else we did. Because the society, and that's what we're talking about, the society that is supposed to support the people aren't supporting the people. They're supporting the American government. They're working to make America shine. They're not working to make us shine. You know, they're over there signing in with the cops, shaking hands with the chief police, and and running around telling people to vote. You know, we can't live in that society, because there's only so many of, there's only 5 million of our people that's documented as a people, as Native people, you know. That, compare that to 200 or 150 million blacks and 150 million whites, and a million Mexicans who don't know they're indigenous. You know, us, we can't compare to none of that. So why should we help them? Why should we join in with them? Certainly they can get us in their military, because they'll just draft us. They can promise you to go see the world and everything. Certainly they can do all these things. You know? But you know what? Our people, like Member says, are our worst enemy, because we cannot talk to our people about keeping away from the Americans. Because they're joined the Americans. I mean, even you, Charles, you was on this show a while back, and you was saying, the United States, my people here in the United States, you know, was talking about indigenous people down south, indigenous people up north. But these Indians, they're better because they're American Indians.
No,
they're United States Indians.
We're
we got to get that mentality out of our brain right now. And I'm trying to, and we can't do that. You know, we can't get mad at somebody from South America that showed up here for Sundance and think, you know, sure, Lakota Sundance. You know, we feel important. Why is this one talking crap? But you see, we cannot think we're better than that person just because of who we are. You know? And get rid of that American, need to be American mentality is what I'm talking about. You know? Because my grandma used to be Indians all the time, Lakotas, right down the street over there. Normal, she just fed them, you know. She just started a fire and used to make soup and people come and eat. They knew it, you know. And I know our people had that kind of a mentality then. So they would deliver her meat, they would deliver her corn. And then some other ones would do that, you know. That's how we were before the American got here. Before the American came, we were feeding the people. You know, we had this mentality, taking care of our young people, feeding them, making sure, before the American came. But now the American is here. So that's the whole issue that I'm talking about. And
my sister grows crops.
What?
My sister grows crops. She feeds the people already. You know,
hey, Tanshi, just the other day.
We can talk about something out of context last.
Hey,
you know,
there's a guy advertising.
You know, the other day there was a guy advertising on Facebook about he was going to plant 5 acres of, you know, this year I'm going to grow 5 acres. Last year wasn't enough. I grew 3. So this year I'm going to grow, you know, I thought he was talking about food. And a lot of these farmers on these reservations are talking about weed.
Yeah.
Marijuana. So that's the attitude, you know, the changed attitude from our grandfathers to now. There's a big difference, and that's why I say, when it comes to your family should be the most important part of it. How you take care of them, how you teach them, and how they walk that red road with you and carry that red road on. That's the important part of it. So it's got it'll succeed, but until everybody sees that what you're doing is the right thing and starts coming in to be that way, then you're all alone yet. That's why I say your family is important. That's why I say, look at Kahushi. Kahushi trusts my kids. I trust his kids. Because we know each other. We know what we are about. We're related and we're Lakota. And the things that he does, I do. And it's no joke. See? So that respect, that mutual respect. He lives in Rosebud, I live in Pine Ridge. So he lives in Rosebud, I live here in California. But that respect that me and Kahushi have of each other and our kids, they will always be there to help each other. They will, that mitaki and yasti, that relation is going to always be there. And that trust.
Kahushi, what is the basis of this relationship we're talking about? You know, the basis of it is the spirituality.
Yep. Yep.
That's what connected our people.
Yep.
You know, that's what connects the people that want to take care of the children and take care of their. You can talk spirituality all you want, but until you get into it and live it, like to me, what got us close was because we were Sundance. We were at that tree.
Yep.
We were starving. We were without food and water. And we understand from doing that the value of food and the value of water and the value of air and the value of fire.
The value of each other.
See.
Yep.
And that's what made us have this special bond.
Yep.
The
yep.
society out there don't have that bond, you know?
Yep.
They don't have it.
And because it's taken from them, and they're not trying to find it.
And when you don't have that spiritual bond, you don't really, you end up caring only about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
I see guys without water, and a person crying for water. The guy that needed it the most gave his water to the person crying for it. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just to help him out because he didn't want to hear, see the suffering. So he suffered himself. And I seen a lot of that being there at Sundance.
Yep.
And that's the main thing. Well, what our people are missing. And we can't force people to do this.
Yep.
You know? We can't force people to see it. You know?
Yeah.
People are out there, you know, like you said, driving good cars, running around, doing all this stuff. I see it every day on the road. But they ain't helping the person with the old tore-up house with all the kids. They just drive past them and call him up, call those people shameful and all that. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
It's hard to survive in this world. It's hard, you know, to make your life better. It's hard. And the only way that I see unity that works together is virologists that are on the same spiritual level, you know, same way of living.
Same.
You know?
Yeah. Same suffering. Same way of life. Huh? See, that's what it is. It's not spiritual. It's not religious. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
That's when we gain that
in
respect.
In that way, it don't turn into things, ideas, and plans. Don't turn into arguments.
Yep.
They turn into a project to make something work. You know? And first, you got to get that connection with Wakam Tonka, a real connection, you know?
Yep.
And it's hard to do that, you know, because there's people out there that say they believe in God, like Christians, and there's people out there that carry chalupas. You know, they Sundance one year and got a chalupa, and Sundance one year just to call himself a Sundance. You know, so they can run around and exploit our culture for personal gain. And that's the same reason why I say it. People use American Indian movement this way.
Yep.
You know, have a name for themselves because they can't have a name for themselves on their own. You know, they can't be themselves on their own. They need to have aim, or they need to say they're a pipe carrier, or they need to be Christian or American or whatever to be somebody. You know, and they don't have nothing. That's why, in this way, the bond that we have from having a spiritual life that we share together is a strong bond.
That's
why you don't need to tell me to go feed somebody, because I feed them automatically. And you're the same way, remember, a lot of people around us in our society.
Yep.
That's how we go. We do that. And in that way, we feed the young people, our people. But it's hard for us to go drive down the road and just feed anybody because those people are in a world that their leadership is all screwed up. That's why those kids are starving. You know?
Yep.
And we need to change and bring that leadership into the spiritual realm of things.
Yep.
That's why it's important for us to try to live that way. You know?
Yep.
We can use God all we want, walk on talk all we want, but until we actually went in there and sacrificed and suffered in these ways, we don't know what it's really like.
Yeah,
when we know what it's really like, that's when we provide the best we can. And the society of these spiritual people is diminishing. That's why those children are hungry. That's why there's no food. That's why they don't have no guidance. Because they're, you know, it's like, there's some kids right close by me. I always go feed them because their parents and the grandparents are trying to help the Tuscosia, but they don't have no money because they can't work. The young people that can work are running around, staying high all the time, running down the road, doing this and that. And I see that. And being American, trying to wear the best American, you know, hairdo, you know, dye their hair blonde, or, you know, try to imitate the American the best way they can, and spend their money on being American. Spend their money on a car to show off down the road, not to help their own kind, because their own kind are still walking, are still don't have, you know, like I went over there and picked them up to take them. They sometimes they have food pantry, they call it, where they distribute food for the people. Some of these people don't even have a ride down there to get this free food.
Yeah.
So I picked them up and take them over there to get their stuff. Or sometimes I say, hey, I need two. This family can't make it till they give it to me, and I drop it off. You know.
Yeah.
You know, but the family that I'm talking about, there's a part of them that got all into the American cult. And when you get in that cult, you're into more keeping up with the Joneses. You know, if you see somebody with some nice sunglasses, you want to wear the nice sunglasses.
Yeah.
If you see somebody with a nice watch, you want to have that watch. Or like now, people are having these fancy cell phones. These what do you call these phones? Cell phones that do everything. Smartphones. They're into spending $300-$400 on a so they can run around and show off their smartphone. And their kids ain't getting no food.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I only have one phone, and it ain't too damn smart. You know, I take 10 pictures, runs out of room, you know. But that's the best I can do. But as I spend my money and everything I got on keeping my circle right, you know.
Yep.
And when my circle's right, I can help the person over there. I can help the person over there. If I don't take care of myself, how the hell am I going to take care of everybody else?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. We have to take care of ourselves. And some, I think in order to take care of yourself, you have to learn spirituality.
It's exactly right.
So spirituality teaches you this way. Spirituality fills you up with resources to help your own kind and not fight each other. You know?
Right.
You know, to get along with your own kind. But when you don't have that, I see them fight down the road, Indians fighting. They ain't going to jail for killing a white guy. They're going to jail for killing the Indian. They're going to jail for stealing from the Indian. They're going to jail for beating up an Indian. When the enemy's out there 300 million strong and they're still beating up their own kind, ripping off, stealing from their own kind. You know? And the bond that I talk about, and that's why I'm really proud that Denver comes, because we know each other. Our families know each other, like I said. We knew each other's mothers, you know, and brothers and sisters. And not just us, but the whole spiritual circle, all our relatives who are walking the same spiritual path. We don't need to be told who to feed, who not to feed, who needs help, who don't need help. We know it. When we try to help this other side, it always turns on us because they don't have the gift of spirituality. They can say it all they want, but they don't have it. It's like the American Indian movement carries a chalupa, blessed by Lakota, but they sure don't act like it.
That's,
you know,
right.
You know, every once in a while, I see some AIM chapters donating clothes, and, you know, up there to a certain group of people. But they're only going to help that group of people so they can say, we're helping Pine Ridge Reservation. Helping Pine Ridge Reservation is a good way to get money and get a way of life, become a professional fundraiser by using Pine Ridge, by using Lakota, by, you know, and then showing up to Greengrass to Sundance for a year. And then now you can say you're a Sundance and run around and throw names around. You know? Yeah, we want to feed the children. We want to feed all the children. But the society that we're trying to get to walk with us isn't there. You know what I mean? They're not there. They sure act like they're there. They're down the road talking about they're there. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, where are they? They're not there. You know? Well, it's like going to battle, having a big army, and going to battle, and all of a sudden you're the only one standing there.
Yeah. So
they aren't there. You know? And that's why I appreciate our spiritual circles, our spiritual society. You know? We went to ceremony when we came out. We fed everybody. Everybody ate. I went to a Washitu ceremony, a church, you know, during the Christmas, you know, because my son plays piano. At the end of it, I was expecting some food, and they just got up and left. You know, I mean, there's a big difference in our society than their society, you know? And I appreciate our society, you know? Look at Wimber's kids when they, I seen them when they were little bitty people. Now they're grown up, and they still help the medicine man get wood. They still help the medicine man do things, you know? They still help, you know? And, but outside of that circle, these kids are running off and don't come back, you know? Because they don't have it. And then they come back all drugged out, tore up, or whatever, to pray on what's here. You know, recently there's been, you know, some pretty good little crimes around. You know, people get shot and killed, you know, by other Indians. And, you know, I sit in the store. Sometimes I call up Denver or call my brother or somebody while I'm sitting there. Where you at? I'm sitting at the circus. You know, the circus, I sit in front of the store and watch the Indians run in and out of it. They're my people, Lakotas. But here goes one Indian wearing with turquoise colored hair. Another Indian with tattoos all up her arm of pot leaves. You know, the five pot leaves all up and down her behind her tattoo. You know, and now they're tattooing their legs all up. And some of these guys are trying to tattoo their face with them, like MS-13. They see this stuff, so they want to imitate it. You know, like when Al-Qaeda was running with their face covered. So then these Indians started doing that, running around thinking they're cool. And now with the mask cord in it, it gives them all the, they showing off wearing, covering up their face, looking cool, you know? They care more about what other people think what they look like than feeding the people. Like Charles saying, feeding our kids. We need to do that. But how do we do it when the society around us isn't the ones doing it? I can't do it because I already tried it. I already did the best I could. I put all my energy into it. But where's the people to help out to do it? You know, a spiritual movement doesn't need no money.
Right.
And that's why I think, like even this radio show, I don't ask for money to do this radio show. But it's here, you know, because we try our best to keep the spirituality of our people as a priority. And this ain't a Bible-thumping radio station. We're not trying to exploit our way of life to other people. We're just telling our people they need to get a hold of themselves and look at the spirituality of our life. If you're carrying a chalupa, you should know what it's for. The American Indian Movement has a chalupa. Why don't they use it? Use the American Indian Movement in that way. Why don't they? They don't. They use, you know, they're over there attacking other Indians, hindering other Indians from having a hang chapter or being part of. So that's why GGC is only a small thing now. It's like those tribes, that tribe that's kicking its own people out of their tribe because they want to have it all in their family. So they're getting rid of their tribe, and now they're a small thing that's irrelevant to the indigenous community across the nation. The smaller you are, pretty soon you become irrelevant. And we need to grow. We need to develop, you know, what we were born with. You know, indigenous people were born with the powerful spirituality instilled in them without the Ten Commandments, without Moses showing them a way of life, without talking about Jesus Christ every day, without this way. Our people were born with this, but the Americans took it away, and it's taken it away. The ones that kept it had to sneak around to hold on to it. I feel bad about this. And he's right. We need to figure out, we need to give our people, our children, good food because they are our future. But you can't take care of the children if these adults are so blind. The ones with the money and all that. How do you make these guys do that? They don't care about our spirituality. Those people, tribal council, tribal leaders, they don't care about our sundances. They don't care about our ceremonies. You know, you go to a ceremony, there might be 40 people in a ceremony. Why is there only 40 people doing this when there's 200,000 of them outside the door out there running around, getting drunk, running around, ripping people up, running around, joining the American, running around with that American flag on the motorcycle and all that. Anyway, Philip's been quiet now. Maybe he's on mute or passed out. But we have a lot to consider when we want to feed our children. We can't just go do it because it ain't going to work. The real enemy, is the lack of spirituality.
That's exactly right.
Like Weber said, How many kids do you have, Ember?
10.
10 kids, and they're all sub-masters. Now, how great is that? Ember did his job and then some.
Yep.
You know? And like you said, he's talking about what we ate in wintertime was what we saved from the summer. And when the summer comes, the only time we eat some fresh stuff. Wintertime, that's why we're having papa soup and
there you go.
Things like that during the wintertime. You know? Because, and like you said, we didn't have a refrigerator. We didn't even have TVs. We didn't have nothing when I was small. You know, we read comic books. You know, we didn't have toys and scooters and bikes and all that. You know, we had to walk or ride a horse. You know, and at the same time, our people took care of their dogs. Feeding our dogs, loving up our dogs, you know. I see people nowadays, they have 10 dogs and don't feed them. So their dogs are running all over becoming predators. They don't even know how to take care of their own animals. You know, can't even feed their own little crew. You know, and our children are really important. Really important. And to feed them is a good idea. And sure, you can buy a bunch of meat. You can buy this and that. But how long can you do that for? Only one time. You can't find a group of people that's going to do that continuously from here on out. Because they're not going to do that. I just like to see real spirituality amongst our people. You know?
Even one time is an honorable thing, and it's putting on a feed. It could be a feed in remembrance of somebody. It could just be a feed. See, a long time ago, our traditional leadership used to do that to feed the community. So even if it is just one time, it's more than has happened before. The possibility for think about it, $320
Charles,
for a ton of
Charles,
food. Charles,
they do have beef right now.
Of beef, right? Think about it.
We do have beef.
I mean, put on a feed. So if I choose to put on a feed, who are you to tell me that it's wrong, or that I can't do it, or that it costs too much for me to do it? See, this is what I'm saying. If this is something that I'm able to do even one time out of the
but
kindness
Charles,
of my
we are doing that.
I guess you receive encouragement, right? And it's like, hey, maybe you would want to be involved in it. And, see,
yeah,
this
you're
is what
right,
I'm saying.
Charles.
And, we're Lakota people. We need to support one another. And, even though what I say may not make sense to you, you may say, hey, it's positive, and we've done positive things before. And so my
Charles,
capabilities, and I can make things happen.
You are ignoring. We do have feeds. We do this all the time. You just ain't around. You're over there in New York or wherever. We do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm the one that's sending help, and I get my reports too. So that's what it comes down to. It's like people talk about things that they're doing, and it's good to sit around and to BS and to feed the same people time after time. But we know that within our own communities, we have those children that are hungry, and this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the adults. I'm talking about the children. So we know that the adults have problems.
I just got
that
challenge
that they're working for. Yeah, you got through telling me, and that's just it. So you're not listening to what I'm saying. Is that there are possibilities?
I am listening to you.
There are things that I'm doing now.
Charles,
have them. And, yeah, it's like, hey, you should say, hey, yeah, man,
look
this is where we get where we got the corn by the ton. And
okay.
The that
we're running out of time, and once again, we can't be debating these issues, you know? I mean, this ain't a show to come over and debate and start attacking, you know? I understand we need to feed the children. We do that, you know? There's, you know, things that happen when you live over here and see, you know? It should happen more often, but, you know? Anyway, Philip, do you have anything to say, or are you not even there? Because we're getting ready to check out.
I'm pretty much good. This is a really good show, and I enjoyed listening to it.
Well, stay. And Layla, you have any comments?
I do, Wombly, and I just want to tell you all the things you were saying for the last 10 or 15 minutes. It's like you were reading my mind, because it all starts with spirituality. And when you have spirituality, then you have compassion for others. And without that, you go your own way.
Yeah. Exactly. And I hear his point, you know. But, spirituality.
It was okay. So, like I see me myself, it all boils down to like I said, my kids and their kids, they're all doing good, and they're all on us all the time, and they're all doing the same thing. So we must be doing something right.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
And I understand what Charles saying. You only need to say it once, though. You don't have
to, that's true.
You know, you don't have to spend, because we're not ignorant. We do know what our kids need. But we try to present another side
a dead horse.
To it, but that's not being heard. And so, you know, if you want to take us out, and, you know, with the prayer.
All right. Oh, Tanshi, I'm gonna say a quick prayer, and we're almost through here, so I'd like to thank everybody for listening tonight again. A quick prayer here, we'll be done. Well, I think I'm sure I'm going to go to the hospital. I want you to go to the Techica, the Kowakanaki, and the Kanjalaki, the Chosani, the Wangalaki. A big oxygen for Gashla as a Yushki on Kalyakbak, which Chapeloch left at the Yoto Wakanaki to Gashla. Ushi Mapo Gashla, Ushi Kapelo, Ushi Kapelo. How many Takias?
Oh.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. Don't you know that you have won? never let me know you. Still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain, no more suffering. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home through the never-ending rain. I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Thank you.
Alexa, put the volume on one. Myths about Australian Aborigine YouTube videos.
Here are some videos of myths about Australian Aborigines I found on the web.
Further afield to find game for the hunt. Even the birds, the ducks, and the swans
last young man and prepared to get out of the water, he was noticed, and the young man threw him back into the pool. They demanded to know what he was doing, but he said it was all part of the ritual and told the young people it was time to go into the large hut they had built. So the young people all went in, while Wirina and some of the old folks of the tribe stayed outside. Eventually, the young people had fallen asleep, when suddenly Wirina burst in and told them to get all of their things and put them in the great hut, for there was no time to lose. As they went out to collect their possessions, they looked to the sky and saw it dark with great clouds racing through the heavens. They had barely gotten all of their things inside when a great crack was heard, as if the sky itself was tearing apart. The whole hut shook, and soon the young people cried out in fear. Children started to wail, and dogs began to bark. One of the women shouted, "We shall all be killed!" But Wirina turned to them and said fearlessly, "I shall go out and stand in the path of the stone. The lightning will come no nearer." And so he left the hut, disrobed in the great storm, and started chanting. The rain beat against his body, and the lightning flashed, but the thunder came no nearer to their camp. Soon, the storm began to abate, and for a moment, a slight breeze rustled the air. Then, a total silence fell. For one long breath, all was still. Then, the real rain began. For days, it poured and poured, and the old people went out to check on the clouds, while Wirinun went to the watering hole to retrieve his stick and his stones. At last, the rain ended.